Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Welcome back in. Joining us now is Kevin Gunderson in the building. What's happening, man? How we doing?
Doing great. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. We got a national champ in our midst. We have a former big leaguer in our midst. We have a owner of a pitching academy and a dominator of one Brandon Sprague in Little League Baseball.
Owned me in Little League Baseball, yeah.
Now, how does it make you feel when he tells you? You made him cry when he was like 8 years old.
You did. I think I was 10 or 11. I was a little older than 8, so it was even more embarrassing.
Sometimes you have no mercy when you're out there, you know, no matter what the age group. I told the kid last night it's either you or the hitter that has success. You got to make up your mind. So
right.
That's true.
I apologize for causing some.
No, dude, I was overly sensitive. I lost $20 because I couldn't even get a foul tip off you. And you know, I knew the minute I faced you and Eddie Koons that this was unfair. That you two should not be in the same league as me. But that didn't matter to the parents because they wanted to win baseball games, and you guys were always good.
Eddie Koons was much more intimidating than I was.
He was a big kid
all the way through up. I mean, just an absolute monster.
Yep.
I could only imagine him from 46 feet standing there, and I'm sure we faced each other many a times. I'm getting a little old here and losing my memory, but even in college, guys would say, man, Eddie is a big individual to face, imposing figure on the mound.
A little scary back. What was it about you at a young age? Was it just you just had more velocity? Was it a breaking ball? Like what clicked for you at a young age that made you kind of realize, like, I could do this for a while?
You know, I was always I've always been really competitive, always been, you know, quote-unquote, maybe undersized. I actually didn't throw a breaking ball until the summer after my sophomore year in high school.
Oh, really?
I threw a knuckleball, had a changeup. I was just aggressive. I kind of took the mentality, I'm just going to come right after you, and sometimes it worked out in my favor, and other times, you know, guys would smack the ball around, but that's going to happen at any level.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like in college, too, you took that to – a whole other world almost with the competitiveness. And you were a fiery guy, man. You'd get people out in the World Series or even throughout those seasons, and you were not a guy afraid to shout and kind of fist pump and let somebody know that, yeah, screw you, go to the bench. I'm done with this inning.
Know, when you get up to that level, you got to get 3 outs. Sometimes come in for a 6-out save, 4-out save. It just kind of depended on the situation. But, I mean, everybody's dependent on you, right? Our starters would do a phenomenal job of keeping the lead low, and our offense obviously did a good job with getting us a lead.
Right.
And then it, you know, it turns to you, and everybody's relying on you, either the hero or the goat, you know, and you just kind of you get into that situation. And I remember almost every time I'd run in from the bullpen, you know, Darwin would look at me and he was like, you got that look. I love it. You got that look. And you just had to put yourself into into kind of an alpha dog mentality when you're out there, because when you're facing the likes of, you know, UCLA and Arizona State, those guys, they want to win.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you're out there soft, and our pitching coach used to always say, if you're scared, get a dog and get a big one. So just took an aggressive mentality out there.
That's a great line. We're talking about Kevin Gunderson, former Oregon State Beaver, drafted by the Braves, been around. He owns a pitching academy now. We want to find out about all that.
Yep.
Let's start, though, with just the Portland Diamond Project. I mean, you're from the area. We're just talking about playing Little League in this city. Oregon State, obviously, alum. What is it that gets you so excited about wanting to be involved with the Portland Diamond Project?
You know, when you're fortunate enough to play in pro ball and you're around, you know, the big league team and spring training, and you're spending time and you see how the excitement level just from a spring training standpoint. We obviously live in a beautiful city, a sports city, and just the thought of baseball coming here is amazing, right? And I know there's it's a long process. It's a slow process, and it takes some time, but I just think this city would soak up baseball so much. Just being able to take families out there on a weekend or a weeknight and be able to watch baseball is something special.
You know, I know that there was a great documentary on Netflix about the Mavericks, and that was really cool to watch. Obviously the Beavers and the Rockies, et cetera. Do you feel like, though, in a way that you and Darwin and Oregon State kind of might be a catalyst for pushing even more love of baseball here in our state with the run that you guys surprisingly made and now it's this dominant program within the country?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I heard Kay say earlier, you know, who would have thought 30 years ago that Oregon State would win a national championship? And our roster was primarily Northwest guys. So be able to be part of that and kind of start a little bit of that excitement and that movement here in the state, yeah, it's special, you know, and just to be able to – the thought that, you know, Oregon State is a small part of maybe that contributing drive to get baseball here is something special.
Yeah. Well, tell us about the Pitching Academy. I mean, that's something I'm sure you're passionate about. Obviously, you know a lot about it. How did you get into it, and how's that going for you?
Yeah, I started actually when I was still in pro ball. I was approached in the winter of 2007, so right after or right before my first full season in pro ball, about doing some lessons. And I had some downtime, and I was really just focused on training, getting ready for spring training. And I started to do it, and I started out with maybe one or two clients. It wasn't a huge time commitment, and I just started to enjoy doing it. And so I'd go play pro ball, and I'd come back in the wintertime, and my clientele gradually started to increase. And then when I stepped away from the game, I started doing it full-time in 2012, and then ended up opening up my own academy in 2014, and it's fun. I'm active in the game. I'm around some great young student athletes that are passionate, both from the lower levels of youth and the age groups, and then all the way up through high school guys.
Right.
And been blessed with some phenomenal clients that have moved on to college, and they'll come back in the off season or wintertime and train with me. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we just tweeted out your account too, the K Gundy pitching one on Twitter. So give it a follow as well. You know, you can encounter from time to time some mouthy kids. So I'm just curious if you're at a moment where a kid was mouthing off, not listening to you, and you just roll the tape of you dominating people and saying, I know what I'm talking about here.
Yeah, I've thankfully have not encountered too many kids that act like that. I don't think it's not my personality to bust out a highlight tape of me throwing back in the day. But, again, I'm blessed with a lot of really special young kids that I'm able to work with and touch on a daily basis. And it's a unique profession. When some people ask, somebody asked me 2 days ago, is this, you know, what do you do for a living? Like, this is what I do for a living. And the look on their face was like, that's pretty cool. Unique hours. But I love it.
Yeah.
I love it every day. It presents different challenges. Every kid's different. Every kid has different pitching deliveries. And so it's fun to think outside the box a little bit.
Well, and how much has it changed for you as a coach to follow what baseball is doing, how it's evolving in the way that you coach and the way that you even learn still, because you have so many different new things now?
Yeah, I'm a constant learner of the game. I think if you, in my personal opinion, I think if you are doing what you did, you know, 10 years ago and only doing that, you're going to get passed up. There's a lot of foundational things that I've done for my entire life that I carry over now, but the time's changing with technology. I'm starting to adopt bringing in pitch technology into my pitch development phase, you know, a device called Rapsodo, which has taken over Major League Baseball in the college ranks, track spin rate and spin direction, spin efficiency. It's a phenomenal tool to use. So it's exciting to blend in kind of the new approach to the game with the old school approach, as long as you're open-minded to it. That's
right,
the biggest thing.
You
can't be stubborn with it.
Right.
It is wild. I imagine telling yourself 15 years ago that you would be using technology like that.
It's amazing.
Keep a track of your spin rate. And yeah.
Every pitch. You can chart every single pitch that you have. You can accompany a data with it. You can go back a year from now and look at a pitch that was, you know, on March 12th or whatever. And it's just,
it's wild.
It's special. And the game has gotten more challenging. It's gotten only the competitiveness of it is insane at the higher levels. And so if you're not staying up to date with what's going on, you're doing a disservice to your kids, because there's a chance that they could get passed up by somebody else that's doing it.
Right.
Well, a two-parter for you, Kevin, then is one, obviously, I always felt like with Casey's guys, he always identified people that were like him, emotionally driven, competitive, et cetera. And I think that's what helped your success so much, is you just want to go out there and prove everybody wrong. What are you doing to combat the competitive itch that you still get? Maybe is it coaching, or do you do something else? You play rec league baseball or something? And the second part is I need the best story on the bus. I need a minor league story on the bus that maybe not a lot of people know about.
Yeah, I feel my competitiveness with my coaching now. I have two young boys who will be 4 and 7 this coming month. I'm going to venture into being a head coach of first grade coach pitch. So I got to get my body and arm in shape to be able to throw from 20 feet away.
Yeah, bring the heat again, you know?
You know, my cousin's here. It's funny you ask about rec league. I haven't got into the adult league baseball stuff yet. I get an invite all the time by him and some other friends to come out. It's just I haven't done it quite yet. And the reason is very simple. I'm extremely competitive when I get between the white lines, and I'm not quite as good of shape as I was in my playing days. And so my competitiveness and what my body will allow me to do, I will butt heads really, really, really hard. So there'll be a time I told him I'd get out there and throw a couple innings. And, you know, I always tell him and my uncle who pitched in the big leagues, I wouldn't do well with somebody that's 40 years old and talking trash to me because I would be liable to put one right in their back. That's just the way I operate. It's just in my blood.
Right.
That's the way you're wired, man.
Favorite bus or pro ball story. We had a huge trade with the Angels when Mark Teixeira came over, and we got one of their minor leaguers who was one of their top prospects, relief pitcher. We're in our bullpen, and this is his second day, and he said, "Hey, have you guys ever played the money game?" And we're like, "What's the money game?" And he's like, "We put our bullpen was in left field in Double A in Mississippi. It was field level, and they had this little pavilion that was wrapped around." And he said, "We put three cups on top of home plates. We had three home plates, Gatorade cups, put a few rocks in there to weight them down. If you will tell the fans, if they make a quarter in the cup, they get a baseball. If they make a dollar in the cup, they get a bat." So we went to our clubhouse guy, and he gave us boxes of the biggest bats that we had in stock that no one used. So we had like six boxes of bats. We had a huge bucket of old BP balls. And so we started advertising the game. It was on a Thirsty Thursday.
Yes.
The rules play for the first four innings minimum and just kind of see the flow of the game before we had to start mentally getting ready
to potentially
pitch. The first night, I believe we made a little over $600 in four and a half innings. And people are throwing quarters and they're like, figuring out, like, if we make a $10 bill, do we get 10 bats? We're like, yeah. So people would be crumpling up $10, $20 bills and trying to launch them into the cups. It helped because somebody made a quarter in the cup early.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, they're not going to pay out. We tossed a baseball, and they're like, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
And then somebody made a dollar, bounced off the turf and into the cup. We took out a bat, was still in the wrapper, tossed it up to them. And we ended up making some pretty good money that we divvied out to all the bullpen guys to help pay for our clubhouse dues.
Oh, cool.
We got through about four or five different games doing that, and we made the big mistake. A kid brought his lunch money and spent all of his lunch money trying to make it in the cup. He asked for his money back. We didn't give his money back. His mom went and complained to the general manager of the Atlanta Braves. So,
wow.
Needless to say, our game ended after about five games.
Teach the kid a lesson, mom. Let him lose his money.
You're
going to
go hungry. Come on.
He was like 13, 14 years old.
He knew what he was doing.
He did.
That's great. You got a couple more minutes to stick
Absolutely.
Around with us?
Yep.
All right. We'll be back with more. We're hanging out here. Portland Diamond Project. Stop by. Say hello. Load of Final Hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan. Welcome back in. Final Hour. Dirt and Sprague on a Tuesday out of the Portland Diamond Project store. Stop by. Say hello. 1919 Southwest Morrison. Signed the big board. We're looking for 50,000 signatures so that Major League Baseball continues to pay attention to the effort to bring a team here to Portland. We're hanging out here with Kevin Gunderson, former Oregon State Beav, national champ. You can follow him on Twitter, at KGundyPitching, and find out about his pitching academy right there. We had a chance to talk to your old coach earlier. Now, it's hard to believe that he's done, right? Are you in that mindset? Because he walks away, and a Pat Bailey, everybody loves him down there, and he's doing a good job. They're off to a great start. It's just hard to envision Pat Casey as a non-baseball coach.
I agree. 100% agree. That might be the most competitive individual you'll ever be around. You know, Case has poured his entire life into serving others and is a tireless worker and never stops.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, all caught up to him a little bit. And everyone should respect that. He literally never stops. His brain never shuts off. Never seen a guy get so nervous before the start of a season. Funny story, if I can share, Dallas Buck for 06 season, I think we were preseason kind of consensus top five team. Case was pretty uptight. He didn't think that we were going to be very good, and we weren't practicing very well before we went to Arizona. And so Dallas put it upon himself to show up in just only tights. That's it. to the Truax Center. Walks in, no shirt on, just tights. Case looks at him like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm trying to lighten you up a little bit because you're a little too uptight. He goes, we're going to be plenty good, I promise. We'll show up on day one, and we're going to be good. And he's like, you need to go change your clothes. He didn't find it very funny at the time. He didn't find it very funny at the time, but I'm sure he'd laugh about it now.
I was going to say, once you guys got the trophy, though, did he turn to him and go, hey, I remember that, and I apologize. You were right. You guys were pretty damn good.
I'm sure Dallas said a few choice words to him to make him laugh, but not appropriate to say on the air.
Well, the one thing I've kind of wondered with you know, former players who are kind of part of the group and just help putting out the word, you know, like, what's the different roles that people are maybe kind of looking at here? And I know you're doing the pitching academy. Is coaching at some level and getting kind of maybe into the bigs? Like, what do you envision for yourself being a part of this group and coming on radio shows like ours to spread the word?
Yeah, I'm really just keeping my options open. I love what I do. I think with a young family, uprooting and moving to, you know, a completely new adventure is not something that we're going to say no to. There's been some opportunities in the past 3 or 4 years that I've politely declined. And so really just leaving my options open. I love what I do on a daily basis, but if an opportunity presented itself to step away from my current situation, definitely going to look at it for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is awesome, man. We loved having you stop by. The idea, I think, of having baseball in this city is so exciting to so many people. Yeah. And I think that's the fun part about a day like today, for people stopping by, grabbing a beer, grabbing a dog. We can all envision it. You look outside and it's sunny outside, and it would be so much fun. And thanks for hanging out with us for a few minutes. It was awesome to talk to you, and best of luck with the academy, man.
I appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely.
There you go. Kevin Gunderson, national champ, professional baseball pitcher for the Atlanta Braves, hanging out with us here and having a great time at the Portland Diamond Project store.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.